Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
All right, so Memphis went down to Vanderbilt last night, 77-70 in overtime. Almost a bad beat for Memphis bettors. I mean, that got dangerously close in a game that Memphis should have won. They almost didn't even cover. But they did, and to some, that matters. Mm-hmm. Round of applause, please, Brad, for the cover.
I felt good before the game about the cover, said it yesterday. I didn't feel good about it in overtime. But we came through.
Some people. Some,
we don't care about covering.
Well, some it did. I think the team did jump up a spot at KenPom as a result of keeping it close. I didn't check the net. I got to get in the habit of checking the net.
Thank you for that spot, Ken Pomeroy.
They jumped up about two spots at the net.
I went on renewed.
Thank you. Some people are underdogs. Penny is a god as an underdog. He just is. The man is unflappable. When he gets 8 to 9 points, look, God forbid, except at Louisville. Okay. We weren't ready for that one.
Well, that was a roster issue.
And money. Yes. But let me tell you this. If it's in the tropics, okay, and we're getting points, it should be $1 million bet. That man ain't not covering in the tropics. And then at home. I mean, inside FedEx Forum, if he's getting points, you know, got 3 against Baylor, won the game outright, got 9.5 against Vandy, should have won outright. So this just something. I mean, I don't think that will come up again this year. I don't think they'll be getting points at home, just because of by virtue of how bad the American is. But it's just something to always keep in your pocket, right? Anyway, last night on the broadcast, who I gather was Dane Bradshaw and Tom Hart. I gather they were pretty tough on the old Memphis basketball team. Of course, I was there, so I didn't hear it. But they also stumbled into a story about Aaron Bradshaw, who we've talked about as a big money man on this Memphis basketball team. Penny continues to say, I got to get him more shots. He's been up and down this year, mostly down. But the broadcast started talking about Aaron Bradshaw and just sort of how Penny is going to motivate him and trying to motivate him. And this is what they talked about.
Takes it up strong, and he's fouled. And Aaron Bradshaw will be going to the free throw line. Aaron Bradshaw has played for some great coaching staffs, but they haven't figured out how to motivate him. So Penny Hardaway, if you joined us late, found a way to motivate Aaron Bradshaw. He started taking his NIL money away. He said, I fine him for being late. I fine him for violating our dress code. $3,000 here, $3,000 there. Guess who started to show up early? Guess who started to put the effort in?
Yeah, it's like the old Bob Knight quote about how the bench is the best disciplinarian.
Mm-hmm.
You learn a lot. Well, nowadays, the wall is the best disciplinarian.
That's right.
Not the bench anymore.
He takes that fine money, puts it back in the bucket. Now some guys further down the roster reaping the cash benefit of those fines.
How about that? Penny Hardaway fining Aaron Bradshaw of NIL money for not doing what he's supposed to do.
Yeah.
I didn't know anybody could. I mean, it's kind of genius. If you know, if that's something that you can do, yeah, I think it's kind of genius.
It would just be emblematic of a guy who's always said that he sort of leans toward an NBA style approach in terms of, you know, independence and giving guys freedom and everything else. You know, to run it professionally, especially now that they're getting money. Fine them when they're not up to dress code. Fine them for being late. I'm assuming it's something you can do contractually. I know it's the first time we've sort of heard this, and so it's a surprise to hear it out loud. But surely there's something in there contractually that allows this. There'll be no pushback from players in terms of that, and maybe it has. I mean, it looked like it, if that's what happened before the Baylor game, then can we find them some more? You know you've had a letdown couple of performances from him lately, but point being, this is the way it should be. Frankly, what was even more interesting to me in trying to figure out whether he's actually motivated by this or not was whether Tom Hart was joking or not when he said, Penny, he takes that fine money, puts it back in the bucket, and now some guys further down the roster reaping the cash benefit of those fines. Are we doing like a curse word jar? And then this thing is open
to guys
down the roster. That's free money for them. And so it just leads me, I know we might get too deep into it, but just a natural question where, well, then are dudes rooting for Aaron Bradshaw to screw up?
Yes.
If I can get some of that money because it's going to be in the bucket.
Absolutely.
And I'll go out there and do my thing, and, you know, what that does for chemistry, I don't know. But, it just opens up a world that we probably should have known already exists.
Right.
But to hear it, probably a surprise to, you know. My whole thing is, man, Penny tells them folks that come in on that production, those ESPN folks, everything.
He do.
That was my take.
He tells them everything.
There was this. There was the part about hoping that guys that you took from losing programs would want to win so bad, but you bring them to Memphis and you let them go. You hope that desire gets them there, but you're realizing that's not the case. Like, what? He told them that.
Like backfires on you in the end, because if you're a guy who's thinking about going to a school, I don't want to go somewhere where they're going to be taking my NIL away, like for one reason or another, justified or not. I mean, I don't want to be fined. I don't want to go to a place. I've never heard of schools fining players.
I can't imagine he's the first.
He's just the first.
He said it to them.
Right.
So
right.
If we're going that this is happening,
yeah,
he cannot be the first to have done this. Surely.
I would think not, but who knows? I don't know how NIL gets distributed. Is it all up front? Is it all engagements? I don't know how it's like different schools do it different ways. So I don't know how. Obviously, Memphis does theirs. You know, he gets his throughout the year, clearly, and not all up front. So I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But, you know, I will say I like the accountability portion from coach to player.
I don't have any problem with it.
I think it's great.
It's a great way to handle it.
Yes, because honestly, you're a professional now. I know we don't have collective bargaining, and I know you're not technically an employee, but we don't have to play charades. Like, we know what this is now. You're a professional basketball player. You happen to be a professional for a school, but if you're not going to hold up your end of the bargain and a dress code, I didn't know Penny had a dress code. Did he not wear like a 1 cent hoodie one day? Like what? I don't know what happened. Like what's the dress code in Memphis? He left the foams at home, or showed up in Adidas slides. I don't know. But you know, if you're not going to hold up your end of the bargain, then Memphis should be allowed to, you know, I think take action. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, you're an adult. You're an adult and you're taking adult money. So if you're not going to handle yourself, and I don't know what's all going on behind the scenes, but it's not performance based, right? It's not like, oh, you suck, so I'm going to take money. Let's make that clear. Although I would be in favor of that as well. Every game you don't score 10 points, that's $5,000 that's taken away from your NIL.
Yeah, I'd love to see one of these deals and just how you can protect yourself.
Right.
In terms of
collective bargaining, I mean, that's really the way you do it, and that's, you know, there's a push for that now.
What you can do with some of those contracts, I'm just talking about in those bullet points, like that. Where
hey, like if you don't,
I can fine you.
what you do.
If you quit halfway through, this is what you know.
Right.
How all that
looks.
You know,
Georgia suing the Missouri kid.
I saw that.
Yeah. For the 3-night.
It seems like a big stink for, was it 30,000 or what? Maybe my number's off, but it didn't seem like it was.
I thought it was 390,000.
Okay, maybe that's what it was. I thought the number I think
saw. I think that's what they paid him, and then he left. But they're suing him for the whole 390.
Yeah, but they gave him 30.
Right, they gave him 30. Right,
and so you've lost 30. Like, is it worth it? Is the point still same thought?
No,
thank you for the total.
Yeah, that's just pettiness. It feels like on
Georgia's
that's
part. What I'm saying. But or trying to set a precedent that this is not going to be done to
us.
Clearly, what it is more about.
Exactly.
Otherwise, it would not be worth it.
That's true. Like,
you've only given him 30,000.
Right. You just let
you can move on to the next. But they're setting the line.
That's exactly right.
Setting the line right there. That's what we're going
to
do.
You're
going
to come to Georgia and pull this on us,
and we'll spend the money.
And look, I
like Penny doing this.
I do too. I do too. To be clear, I do.
Can I add something? Some of y'all think, oh man, he's coming down. Penny needs to contribute to the jar when you blow it against Wake Forest. That would be true accountability.
Yeah. I don't know. Is he allowed? Is he permitted?
I'm just going to stick with what I've said because, again, we have spent so much time blaming this roster, whatever else. In the end, saying he's the one that put the roster together, but saying whether this roster is good enough. You were good enough against Wake Forest. You were up against Purdue. Back to the point. And he said it, but that's my thing is, hey, man, Penny got some money too. Let all them guys get that money because that one, again, came down to a coaching mistake. You can fine Zach Davis for the bonehead plays he made at that one, at the end of that one. Maybe we need him, but fine guys for plays and turnovers. I don't know how flexible we can get with these things. But I tell you what, Penny should have contributed to that jar if we're doing it that way after Wake Forest.
Well, again, I'm going to have to check. I'm going to have to consult the NCAA rules on that.
Can media get in on some of the cash?
Oh, you think that the
what if we
money
call
be...
something right? You know what I'm saying? Whether they got that one right. If we get it wrong, you and I can contribute.
Yeah.
To the jar.
Well, I mean,
it's like the old curse word jar on in the Huxtable household.
If we only contribute when we're wrong, we're not going to be contributing.
Do you do
every single time we're right?
Do you do the curse word jar?
No.
I've never done it.
It
either.
Would literally.
I just think it's too.
It would be the.
It's cornball.
If I did the curse word jar, it would be the GDP of a small nation, because I curse like a sailor.
In front of your kids?
Yeah.
Okay. Again, no judgment whatsoever.
I sound like you judge me.
Nope, it's not. I want to make that clear because I've seen great kids raised who actually don't by folks who curse all day long.
I obviously don't do it the way I would do it.
Great kids have come out
with Coop it Skybox. Obviously, you know what I'm saying? Like I. But it,
I'm
but,
just curious.
But do I say, you know, certain? Yeah, I mean, I don't filter it completely.
Oh, I was just curious.
My daughter is actually sharp enough to know. I don't know how she does it, but she's sharp enough to know that she can't say certain words that I say. So she'll kind of repeat a sentence that I say, but she'll stop short of saying the word. I don't know how she knows, but she knows the guy. And I guess it's because she don't hear that word in her, you know, except unless I say it.
What if after a guy like Jordan Brown, you looked at some of these NIL deals and you said, here's where we can, you know, maybe be different with these, and you decide, okay, well, we'll find them. You know, now having been through some of these,
right.
and you've changed it. You've kind of changed it, you would guess, as they've gone on. I'd love, you know, it'd be great to see some of these NIL deals over the years and how they've changed in terms of some of the bullet points. But yeah, to hear it talked about openly and the fact that Penny had said, here's how I motivated him, basically told that ESPN and crew that, you know, yeah. Left it, wow, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you are running a professional, you know, club.
Well, I mean, that's what it is.
You're finding guys.
So I know that on some level that may be a turnoff to some, but I think just coach to player, I think it's a good, you know, it's fair.
I'm not worried about what it says to other players. Yeah. No, you come in here, that's going to be about accountability. Got to go all the way around with it. But I think what you're saying to other players, that didn't spook me in terms of what it might do.
But here's the question, though.
Guys turning away from you. You're scared of accountability.
Let me ask you this.
I want you in a program.
Don't you have to do it both ways? That. Like if a guy overperforms, does he get a bonus, bro?
Well, you're getting some of that Aaron Bradshaw money.
Because when you overperform and it's been a minute, you get a bonus. Can we get these players a bonus when they do it? I mean, I think
get them whatever you decide you're going to spend the money on.
Let's
get it done.
Incentives. We'll add you incentives. If you make American first team or something, you get an extra 20 grand or something. If you're like, you're talking about like a, I'm not a Duck McDaniel. That would be too easy.
Mm-hmm.
But like a Julius Thedford, you know what I mean? Like a guy like that, if you overperform to that level, you know, we'll just put it in there. I don't think you'll do it, but we'll put it in there. It'll give you motivation. You know what I'm saying? some extra motivation. So anyway, it was a fascinating look into how, you know, Penny is navigating this environment. I like it. You like it. It seems like, I mean, I don't know, Aaron Bradshaw, he is what he is at this point, it feels like.
If I was making a lot less than Aaron Bradshaw and I felt like I was giving it my everything, I would, and I had a chance to earn more money, Aaron Bradshaw's money, if I give everything I have, I would be rooting for Aaron Bradshaw to fail.
Yeah.
Just the selfishness in me. And that's me.
Yep.
Think about young guys. I'm just, that's the other part of this. If it really is in a jar and I can get my hands on it, and that is, in a weird way, that motivates all the guys beneath him.
Yep.
Because we've wondered about that with chemistry. What happens when second or third string guy is outplaying first string guy, and he's making a ton less? How's he feeling? How do you maintain good chemistry through that? It would motivate, if this is true, like what a motivator for those guys that are further down the bench, as Tom Hart pointed out.
Yes.
That's wild.
Yeah, very wild. It's on the broadcast for the whole country to hear, no doubt about that. So anyway, that was a fascinating, you know, little moment there in the broadcast of a 77-70 loss to Vandy.
We were talking about incentives. We got the numbers from at least the memorandum of understanding on Charles Huff's contract. I'm reading from Jonah Dillon's story over at commercialappeal.com. Huff got 5-year, $10 million deal according to that MOU. And again, Jonah Dillon's got the story over at commercialappeal.com. He's set to make $1.8 million, Huff is, during that first year. $1.9 million second goes up from them. Obviously, Memphis gets Huff from Southern Miss. This contract, if Huff is fired without cause, will pay 75% of the money left on the deal. For Ryan, it was 60%. So we know that off top. The other thing, and was a big sticking point on Ryan's contract, were the automatic extension years, or year that you get for 9 regular season wins. Jonah Dillon points out that is not in Huff's contract. That contract was given to Ryan going into the 2024 season, coming off of a 10-3 year, yes, but finished fourth in the American, and Huff won't have one of those. So if you're a Tiger fan, that's part of the reason why you were kind of stuck with Ryan in terms of, you know, that added another year, which he did in 2024, gets the 9 wins, you add another year. I say part of the reason why you're stuck. Ryan had won enough games that you weren't going to fire him, but it was sort of a limbo position in terms of what you still owed him because of the extra year. Huff will not get one of those, does not have one of those in his deal. If Huff leaves quickly, and we've talked about that possibility, and frankly, we framed it this way. We would be cool if Huff wins at such a high level first year, second year, that he automatically gets that SEC job offer, just like we've seen from, American coaches this year. If he does leave before the end of his first year, he'd owe $4.5 million. If he leaves before the end of his second year, it goes down to $3.5 million, and then from there, mm-hmm. I'm bringing those numbers up because it's a possibility. I think with the resources that Memphis has, and especially the resets that some of these programs in the American are doing from a football side with some of these new coaching hires, that you've got just much chance, if not anybody, right there with South Florida to do that quickly. So, those numbers may matter down the road, but for Charles Huff, it's a lot more than he's making at Southern Miss, but certainly less than what Ryan Silverfield was making on his way out of here, although you would probably have expected that. I will say, Charles Huff's actually won a conference title in the Sun Belt.
Exactly.
Doesn't get the automatic extension.
Right. But that was just bad contract practice.
That's on Laird Veach, right? And again, Laird Veach did get, so I'm giving him the 1 year, I can buy them out at 60%. Well, this one's 75, but no, I'll take this one every day of the week over the one that Ryan Silverfield had. That said, yeah, for Charles Huff, I'm sure he's happy because from what he was making, pretty much what I think doubles it to that, making $2 million here, he's going to feel like he's got a whole lot more, and especially as it relates to, more importantly, putting together his roster resources and what that roster is going to look like.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a
shout out to Charles Huff.
Fair contract. I mean, I think the Ryan Silverfield one was the outlier in terms of ludicrous. I mean, the fact that you're getting automatic extensions. I mean, nobody should be getting automatic extensions in 2025, man. Not in college sports today, in my view, unless it's a sure thing. Like, Ryan Day, you know? I mean, something along those lines. I just feel like doing it at a place like Memphis where you can win 9 games pretty easily.
Yeah, Laird got carried away with him.
So. Yeah, he did. He got carried away. And
won the Liberty Bowl, I think, that year, too. Yeah, 2023. No,
that's right.
You know, still fourth in the American.
Yes.
But the 10 wins.
He was frolicking in the silver fields.
I remember, I think he only had 2 years left at the time. And so for recruits, yeah. We had talked about that. You sort of need to be able to say that your coach is going to be there. So that was stick. But still, you didn't need to put that in.
Yes, yes, yes.
It was unnecessary.
So I don't know. I just, I think it's a fair contract. Obviously, you know, Memphis, $2 million, that kind of tells you where they were at with, you know, I mean, they're not breaking the bank here. It's a decent salary. It's still not tops in the American, though.
You're saving money.
Yeah,
and I mean, you got the money for Arkansas,
right?
And Silverfield,
right? Right.
Over $1 million.
I still that makes them, I think, I guess top five in the American. But it is amazing how they don't pay their coaches, you know, sort of perpendicular to or parallel to, you know, where we expect them to finish every year. Kind of weird how they do that. But I guess you don't, if you don't have to, you don't have to. You don't have to pay him. I don't know who the highest paid coach in the – maybe it is now because Golish is gone and Summerall's gone. So, I guess it did reset in that way. I don't know what the American salaries are. I'd have to look it up. Maybe he's top three now because I think Traylor makes like 2.6. So, he'll have the – he may be the highest paid guy because, you know, Will Hall ain't getting more. And I don't know what Hartline got. I guess that's the one we're waiting on. But it's hard to know.
This is 24. Golish is making 2.5. Traylor 2.5.
Yeah.
This is 24 though.
Okay.
Ryan was at 2.2 then.
So he was three.
He was fifth highest paid.
He's fifth highest.
Yeah. Munkin was 2.3. This is 2024.
Okay. Yeah.
And then East Carolina's coach Mike Houston was at that time 2.4.
Gotcha.
So okay. Ryan was fifth.
So Ryan
in
was
2024.
Fifth. Yes.
Summerall obviously isn't on here, right? Private. Yeah. I think.
Yeah. We don't know because it's private. They don't report.
Private.
Yeah. Mike Houston obviously is not at ECU anymore, so I don't know
right. what they reset to.
Right.
But that's where they were then.
So you're behind Munkin though. You know you're definitely behind Munkin. Which by the way, making $2.3 million to coach the Army football team, what a life!
Mm-hmm.
That's a hell of a. You don't have to worry about recruiting nothing.
Newberry at this point was at 1.6. I'd be interested what he's making now.
That's amazing.
Yeah, to have Newberry at 1.6 of what he's done for Navy.
We paying like a mug at our armed forces, bro. I mean, we spending, dog. That's crazy. So, yeah, I would guess.
This is 2024, though. I'd love to see the 2025 numbers. I don't know if anybody's got it laid out.
Yeah.
Like Jonah did in 2024.
Yeah.
But that may be out there.
USF gave Brian Hartline a 6-year contract, but I'm not seeing.
I heard somebody say two, that it's. It,
okay.
No. Two is what he was making at Ohio State. We need to get that correct as one or the other. I think it was two is what he made in Ohio State, so you figured it'd be more.
Right.
I mean, you figured Ohio State, he's making a couple. If Cramsey's making one here.
Right. Exactly. So, again, competitive salary always can go up if Charles Huff is great and puts the Tigers in the, you know, American championship game for sure and beyond maybe. So, but, I mean, that's about Memphis. Is,
yeah, bro, Hartline was making two at Ohio State, but Patricia's making 2.5 going into this year.
All right, so if he was making two at Ohio State, you know he wasn't leaving for less.
Right. That's
so
the point. That's
he's probably
what we
making
need to know and
2.75, 3, be my guess. 2.5 minimum. So
Huff told you got the best coach because he's done it before, and right. You'd obviously be getting a good
right.
deal if he's less than
right.
Hartline, which he must
totally.
Be.
Totally. And listen,
Huff's getting paid what Hartline did as OC at Ohio
that's
State.
That's right.
Wow.
That is amazing. That's the difference in Power team. League, bro. I mean, they're paying coordinators $2 million. That's what Buster Faulkner making more than that.
I will say, you were paying Cramsey $1 million.
Right.
Like, yeah.
That's not bad.
It's not, no, that's what I'm saying. It's good.
Coordinator, I mean, you used to pay probably nothing.
In the G5, going to be G6.
Yeah.
Coordinator making $1 million.
That's right.
It keeps you attractive.
It definitely does.
If that's going to be the way that Huff structures it.
Exactly.
You know, potentially, I'm sure.
Congrats to Coach Huff. He was introduced last night at the basketball game.
Was it a nice for those?
Oh, great ovation.
Yeah. I imagine it would be.
All 300 of us.
There are more than 300, surely.
I'm bad at guessing.
How many Vandy fans were there?
Nah,
not many came, huh?
Mitch Light was there. Oh, Mitch.
Yeah.
You promised me a flood of black and gold. You promised me. I was let down. I did not see many Vandy fans.
They said y'all go handle
that. I did see a smattering. There were some, you know, walking around with their Vandy hats, looking all happy after the game, but it wasn't really much, I would say. It wasn't a it's a Wednesday night.
How many people were there total, you think?
I'm bad at
10?
I'm bad at estimating. I would definitely not say 10. I know they announced 11, so you can probably go half of that.
Yeah, my Vandy fans let me down.
It was not a full building. It was a loud building, a spirited building when the Tigers took the lead. But I just didn't see many Vandy fans at all. I was sitting next to a Tiger fan. He yelled out, "All I want for Christmas is a quad one win." Oof. And he was sitting right next to me. I had to say, "Sir."
Was he feeling good up five in that second half like I was?
I mean, I think everybody was feeling pretty good. I was actually sitting next to Willie Kemp, too. I think he was feeling pretty good, but he was very frustrated by the lack of exit. I mean, if you look on, like, people were really trashing Memphis' offense last night on social media, even at the game.
Yeah, the announcers kept referring to the fact that on the half court they were looking over at Penny in the half court.
I mean, basically it just became ISO.
Yeah,
I mean, it was like Hasan Abdul-Hakim go, which is, if it works, it works. It ain't like they couldn't have won the game doing it. They led by five with that offense against a team that everybody swears to me is a Final Four contender, which I don't see. Like, I'm not trying to sound bitter about Vandy. Like,
Everybody in the world saw that last night.
Well, some people are still doubling down. Like, this team is really good.
They don't have any bigs.
They have no bigs, and their guards are like, okay. They just look like a first weekend team to me. That's what they are. They're not a top 10 team.
Yeah, my guy Tanner.
They're not going to win the SEC.
Tanner's a nice little player. That's what he is, a nice little player. That ain't you ain't going to get past Alabama's backcourt with Tanner. I don't think so.
Yeah. Anyway.
Pretty obvious.
Let's get to Rob Doster. He's going to join us on the other side. We'll talk to him about Memphis, Vanderbilt, rest of college basketball. Great slate on Saturday. Stick around. J&J, 90.5 FM, ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Rob Doster is the co-founder of the Field of 68. I don't know how closely he was paying attention to the beautiful display of basketball that we saw last night between Memphis and Vandy. Offensive innovation abound. He joins us now. Rob, what's up, man?
What's up with me? What's up with you, John? Jason, I gotta warn you, man. I'm a little fired up today because I received a text from your partner here at 105. It was like, don't forget, you're coming on at 125 today. Don't forget, that's in 20 minutes. So I'm sitting here waiting by the phone. And it's 135, man. I could have been doing stuff with my day. I could have gone out and run some errands. I could have gone to the bank. And this is what he's doing to me, Jason.
Not in 8 minutes.
You got to watch out for this guy.
My partner you got to understand, he was in the midst of a great soliloquy that I'll send you after the show was over. That's what.
Yeah, blame it on me.
It was a great moment of American speech. So we do apologize for the tardiness, and we ask for grace. It was a tardy game.
It's the holiday season, man. It's a season of forgiveness.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I don't know if I can forgive Vandy and Memphis for that offensive display. First game I went to as a fan this year, and it was disgusting. Vandy does win the game in overtime, 77-70. I would just ask you broadly, watching that game, I'm not even going to ask you about a specific team, but when you watch that game, what's your thought? What's your thought as the game goes final?
Did you guys see that clip of Penny? I think it was in overtime, where the guys come to the bench and he just kind of rolls his eyes and shakes his head and dejected and goes and tries to put his hand in there in the huddle. And you just see that he's been beaten down and worn down and grounded down. That's what I felt like after watching that game. I wanted to work out for Penny at Memphis. You guys know this, man. I've always been a big Penny guy, but I think that he realizes and he's kind of figured out that this is not a team that is going to be able to do that for him. I think he knows that they missed on being able to get someone that they can kind of build a program around. I mean, John, you've heard me say before how I kind of feel about like building a program around guys that have been perennial. I don't want to say calling them losers like is kind of rough, but like these are guys that aren't winning basketball players at previous stops, and there's a reason why they've been moved on from previous stops. And when you build a roster around guys like that, I think it is very difficult for you to be able to find a way to be able to play winning basketball. So I'm not surprised that it hasn't worked out, but it's not pretty right now. And I think Penny knows. And I think when you saw that clip and you saw his reaction, I think he knows that it's going to be a long one this year.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, that's definitely a big reason why this is, and he even mentioned it. And he mentioned it in his post game, you know, that we don't know how to win these games. For Memphis, it doesn't. I mean, they're underperforming at 4-6. They should have lost to UNLV. They should have beaten Wake Forest. They should be 6-4 right now. You know, we talk all the time about the path, winning the American, which I don't think will be enough. Winning the American regular season will probably not be enough to get you into the tournament. So now you're sitting here on December 18th, and it's win the conference tournament or you're out. And I just think the bigger problem there, Rob, is that, you know, you have to fill a building of 18,000 people. And when you have to do that, it's tough to rally the troops. It's tough to rally the troops and say, hey, on December 18th, you know, the only way we can get into this thing is if we win the conference tournament at the end of the season. It's just tough to get through a season that way, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's also tough to sell people to spend their money during the holiday season on a product that is not aesthetically pleasing to watch. You know, like, oh, yeah, these guys aren't really going to play all that hard, and it's not going to be pretty basketball. They're not going to score a lot of points, and it's not going to be something that's all that entertaining. But please come on in and spend $50 a ticket when you got to go pay for your kids' Christmas gifts and make sure that you're able to travel for the holidays, right? Like, that's a big ask in this economy, right? That's a big ask when people have to spend their hard-earned money to be able to do that, right? You want to be able to create a product that people want to get behind that energizes the community, and I don't think that that's happening right now. What I will say is that I feel like this is a time now where Penny critics have been able to kind of jump on and pile on, right? And I would remind everyone that Penny kind of went through this entire roster rebuild last year, and they won 29 games, and they won the American regular season and the American tournament, and they were a 5 seed, and they made the NCAA tournament. And yeah, you lost to Colorado State. I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that arguably your second most important player was out with a, an ankle or a knee or whatever it was. Yeah. So he built a team, like he proved that he could do it last year. That it was not a fluke what Memphis was able to do last year. I also think that it's, when you look at what has happened this season, I think a lot of that can be pinned down to, okay, you were trying to get your All-American back who kind of just, I'm trying to avoid cussing right now, but like he just kind of messed around a little bit and waited too long. And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, well, we were saving all this money for him. And now all the guys that were worth the amount of money that we were going to spend on him have already been kind of gobbled up by the portal. So I sympathize with the situation that Penny finds himself in right now. Right. But at the end of the day, like roster building is on the coach. So that is on Penny. So I think that this year is kind of a wash, but I'm not one. You will not find me being the guy that is holding the pitchforks outside of the Memphis basketball office saying, you got to get this guy out of here, man. No, you talk about John Martin being late for a radio interview and giving them grace. I think you got to give grace to some coaches that have proven that they can be good, that they can coach and that they can win, that have struggled adapting to this new era when so much can change in a single year.
Yeah, I'm with you, Rob. I think there's a way out for him, right? It's just whether or not he's going to be able to get there. That there's enough here on this roster that, to your point, you've put together and at times look like it doesn't fit together. There's enough to win the American Conference tournament, like you're probably going to have to do, go to the tournament, which right now, we've lowered the expectation level at Memphis because the price to compete at a national level is not the same. But you go make the tournament, hopefully gets a win, because that's where he's also struggling and some of those critics still have him. You've only got one in your seven previous years here. But you make the tournament, you keep a core, right? Going back to lessons learned, can't replace 15. Let's keep 7, 8 more if we think they're the right ones, and then go put the pieces around them. That's the way out. But what I'm fearing, Rob, and especially when you waste an opportunity like last night to get a top 15 win and some belief in there, that this goes back to looking like 2 years ago, where you had the absolute, you know, breakdown. You know, it's a Quinnerly-led team, you know, they took Caleb Mills out, and boy, did that thing come apart in conference. Because we've seen that happen as well. So I'm with you. I'm leaning towards Penny can get them out of this, but I do worry about what it would look like if it did go to heck instead of saying the other word, and what you're faced with there just optically and in terms of juice and nobody excited.
Well, that scares me. My guess is that it's probably like this is I don't see how this turns around, right? Like I don't. And you guys correct me if I'm wrong. You're closer to it than I am, but I don't see the leadership on this roster to be able to correct what has already kind of gone the wrong direction, right? Like the one that stands out to me is the Purdue game, right? Like you're in a battle with the then number one team in the country, and the guy that's supposed to be your starting center, that's supposed to be the 5-star, that's supposed to be the McDonald's All-American, flops, then gets in the dude's face. His reaction gets him a technical. That technical is his 5th foul. He fouls out of the game. You give him 2 free throws that allows Purdue to take the lead, and then they never end up looking back. Like that's who you're relying on to be your leader in this program, in Aaron Bradshaw. And I don't see how you can turn that around when he is not proven to have the ability to be able to do that. And I also kind of understand why you are in this situation if you are Penny, but I think this year is going to be a write-off, man. Like they'll win a bunch of games in the American because they are talented enough. And, you know, I think that there's a non-zero chance that they end up getting to the tournament, right? Like, who are you really scared of in this conference this year? South Florida looks pretty good. Tulsa might have figure something out there. But when it comes to just talent, I think that Memphis might have enough to be able to just get it done this year. But to your point, Jason, here's my question. Like, who do you want back on this team? Like, while you're watching this group, you say you want to bring a core back. Like, who do you want? That's the hard question that I have. Is like, if you have a group of guys that have proven that they're not going to be able to get it done in the way that you want them to, right? Who are you bringing back? Like, top 4 or 5 guys are all seniors. Like, that's the hard part with me is, like, sometimes cleaning house isn't the worst thing to do, and you can go out and kind of start anew. And I think that's probably what this group is going to end up having to do. But I just don't I feel bad. You know, I don't even feel bad. Like, a lot of these kids, a lot of these players now are making six figures. They're professionals at this point, so they can take the criticism when they're not going to show up and do things in a professional way.
Mm-hmm. No, I would say a couple of them were on the floor last night. Julius Thedford, who's giving them energy. Mm-hmm. I ain't telling you he's some star that you can build around. Curtis Givens the third. But those, what I am telling you is those guys are Memphians, and when Penny does the – hey, man, Memphis basketball, if it's going to resonate with any, you know, this is how we play around here. If it's going to resonate with anybody, and if you're going to, frankly, get a discount on anybody, it's going to be some of those guys. We know his son's not going anywhere. Ashton Hardaway, who's back, you've got to get the most you can out of him. Quante Berry's got another year. Maybe if he's in your system for a couple of years, you can get him more consistent. No, I'm not telling you there's some shiny core there to your point, because a lot of it looks like you wouldn't want it back. But what you can't do, Rob, back to your point, is clean it out every time. It can't be 15 and 15, because there you're gambling, and most years, it feels like to me, you're going to come up on the wrong end of that in terms of chemistry. It's a risk every year.
You risk this.
It's a risk.
You risk this when you have the full turnover every single year.
Right.
You risk having a year where it doesn't work, whereas when you have that continuity, at least you know you got this floor where it's like, I can go rely on these guys.
1,000.
Care about the program, that aren't just here to get a paycheck. And I feel like Memphis is not the only place that's dealing with this. Right, like I would say, if you look at Lexington and with the program that spent the most money this offseason, they're dealing with something very similar, where maybe the pieces don't fit, maybe these guys don't really care about the program. Right, the hard part when you have free agency is everybody is going to places because it's the best situation for them financially. And if you're doing everything for the money and for the paycheck, then there's only going to be a certain level that you give to that program.
Yep.
Right. And you have to develop people that have ownership over it. So like the local kids, I think that's what you got to lean into if you're a program like Memphis, in a city like Memphis that cares about basketball the way that Memphis cares about basketball. And then I'm not just talking about like pro and college, down to the high school ranks, right? Like you've got to lean into these kids that care about that Memphis program and get the people around them that care about Memphis and want to put that identity back in that program. So, you know, I hear you, man. I don't know how you turn it around this season. I just don't see this year being something beyond like, hey, you know what, maybe you can get a 13 seed as an automatic bid.
Yep.
Well, okay, I don't want to belabor the point here. By the way, Fred Smith Jr. was there last night. That's talking about local kids, you know.
There's another one.
I'm just wondering what he's waiting on in terms of a commitment. But, Rob, you said it, like, you have to clean.
He's waiting for the seal of approval from John Barton. That's all he needs.
No, I've given it. He's got it. He has my blessing. Ready whenever he's ready. You mentioned cleaning house, right? And how you might have to do that with the majority of this group. But that's the problem. The problem is that Memphis has had to start over from scratch for 4 years in a row. And if you do it again after this one, that would be five. And the reason that Memphis is in this position right now with this group is that Penny just picked the wrong ones, right? He just last year he picked the right ones. This year he picked the wrong ones. But don't you think in this day and age, with the high cost of going in the portal, which Memphis is going to be outgunned for with a $4 to $5 million budget, aren't you going to pick just more of the wrong guys in the future because you won't be able to afford the right ones?
Well, I mean, That's why I think the hometown discount part of it is something that has to matter, right? Like I was thinking about this yesterday with UConn, where if you look at the last two games that UConn has played, they pretty much won in the second half. They got Jalen Stewart had 10 points in the second half against Texas. That kind of stemmed the tide of a Texas run in the second half. And then Jaden Ross, 13 points and 7 rebounds in the second half against Butler. Butler made a little bit of a run and he comes out and has a couple of dunks and everyone gets fired up. And part of the reason that they're there is, one, those guys are completely bought into the idea of being a part of the UConn basketball program. They've also been there. They're juniors that have not played. They haven't been starters. Like Jalen Stewart started this year early on because Braylon Mullins was hurt. Now he's back to being a bench player. Jaden Ross played 2 years. Like, he got benched last year because he wasn't good enough. Most kids would have run away from that and said, you know what, I'm going to go to Boston College, and I'm going to go there. I'm going to average 12 points a game, so when I'm a senior, I can transfer somewhere and get a big check because everyone thinks I'm good. And those guys stayed where they were, and they've become kind of like the foundation for what UConn basketball represents. And the fan base gets behind them, and people love it because there are these kids that they've been able to see grow over the course of the years. And I think that's what it's not just Memphis. That's what everybody needs to be able to lean into if you want to keep developing these fans beyond just like, all right, well, we got a bunch of transfers in. Are they going to be good? No, they're not good. All right, I'm out again. You got to find those kids that the fan base will become emotionally invested in. And leaning into the local products, leaning into the guys that have played high school basketball there, I think that is probably the best way to go because they're going to have a certain affinity for the university and for the city that goes beyond just what, like, a Doug McDaniel. I'm sure he's going to say all the right things while he's at Memphis and he's cashing those checks. And then he's going to be gone and he's probably going to forget about it. Like, that's the way that it goes for a lot of these players. You need to find people that are going to be invested in what you're building beyond just being invested in the investment that they're making financially.
I was to see Vandy after everything I'd, you know, sort of seen through them analytically, watched him a little bit, but not a ton, Rob. Memphis did a lot defensively to throw. I mean, they had 20 turnovers. They don't turn the ball over. They just weren't impressive is what I'm trying to tell you. My question for you is, where does that Vandy team finish in the SEC before it's all said and done? I just had John tell me they're still the favorite in the SEC. How do you see it with Vandy by the end of the year?
Are they John's favorite or are they the sportsbook's favorite? Because I think those are two very different things.
I thought BetMGM had him as the favorite last night.
No, that's the point. He would be saying it's the sportsbook's favorite. It's not his favorite. I think he's kind of with me. Like, we weren't impressed. Yeah.
I think that they are a really, really good team, right? Like, I think that they run really good stuff, and they got two guards that are really, really talented. Like, the thing about Tyler Tanner, he's like 5'11",
yep,
right?
I like him.
But he makes every correct decision,
yes,
and he is super efficient. Yep. And you got two point guards that are like that with Duke Miles there as well. And then you got shooters around them. You got a couple bigs that are really good at rolling to the rim and finishing around the basket. And they run a lot of, like, really – It's nothing complex. They just run a bunch of, like, different kind of ball screen actions, and they have different looks out of it and different reads out of it and counters to the counters. And it's all kind of quick-hitting stuff, and it just works because you got two point guards that are both capable of making those reads and also playing off the ball. So it's really difficult to defend. Now, what I'll say is I think when you get into SEC play, it's going to be a little bit different for them, right? If you look at who Vanderbilt's beaten and the reason why their numbers are so good, you beat a UCF team who is, like, top 50, but we're not talking about, like, top of the SEC kind of quality, right? VCU's got some high-major athletes, but they're not quite at the level of what you see in the SEC. St. Mary's isn't super athletic. SMU isn't super athletic. I think the reason why they had a little bit of trouble with Memphis is because they started to see a little bit of that kind of SEC-caliber athleticism and length. And when you now run into these teams in the SEC, I think that's where – a little bit of the size issue kind of gets mitigated. So I think it's going to be kind of similar to what happened last year where Vanderbilt got off to this big start and then kind of came back to earth a little bit once they get into conference play. Now, I'm not saying that they're going to go like 9-9 in the league. I think that they're probably like a top 4 or 5 team. And I don't think that the SEC overall is as good as they were.
Right.
But you guys tell me if I'm crazy here. I think the two best teams in that conference right now are Arkansas and Florida if Xavier Lee remembers how to shoot the basketball.
I mean, it's a big if, by the way. Absolutely massive if.
I love that Arkansas.
Big if, but he's been really good in like 3 of their last 4 games. And I promise you, the staff, like, he is getting the shots that they want and the shots that they had seen him hit in practice. And then he gets in a game and he just pisses down his leg. And if your kid said he's a good basketball player, I think that 90% of his issues are between the ears. And I don't know how you fix that. Beyond like having him be able to figure that out, get him like a sports psychologist or something. Like, I think he's got the yips. Remember when Chuck Knoblauch went from being a gold glover to like forgetting how to be able to throw the ball to first base?
Yep.
When he got to the Yankees, you remember that?
Yep.
I feel like that's what Xavier Lee's dealing with right now. Like, he just forgot how to play basketball.
Well, he also went from Princeton to the SEC. I mean, that's a big.
Put some respect on the Ivy League's name.
No,
John.
No. I'm not doing that. Not on basketball. Not in. I'll give them academia. They'll get respect for me. But I mean, it could be that it is psychological. But the psychology is OMG. I'm not playing against Ivy League athletes anymore. Everybody here is 6'6" with a 6'11" wingspan, and is fast and can jump, and he can't. he loves to dribble though. But I would say I got Florida ahead of. I'll still have Florida ahead of Vandy. I have Alabama ahead of Vandy.
Bama ahead of them.
Arkansas ahead of Vandy. Tennessee is close. Tennessee is like on the cusp.
I'd have like Auburn, Vandy, Tennessee, although the Alabama, all those teams kind of in that same range, right? Like, I think it's Arkansas and Florida and then that next group. But they're all really close, man. There's no – I don't know if there's a top 10 team in the country in the SEC this year.
Yeah, no, it's year, like, I mean, yeah, it was like, awesome last year. It's kind of down. It is kind of down. Well, speaking of which, let me just get your I'm going to be hosting on Saturday night, so we'll touch on this game, I assume. It'll probably be the start of the show. Houston, Arkansas, there in a neutral. I'm expecting that to be a 3 to 4 point spread here for Houston. Arkansas, you know, took it to Texas Tech there in the second half. Can they do it again against a Houston team that I feel personally is not the Houston we've been accustomed to seeing the last couple of years? Curious what you think about that matchup.
Year. Hey, man, we said that last year. They lost four of their first seven games or something like that last year, and then we're like, yeah, Houston's down, man. I don't think this team's going to be able to put it together. I don't know if this team's right. I think Kelvin Sampson lost his fastball. He moved to the Big 12, forgot how to coach. And then they lost one game before the national championship game, and that was in overtime to an Elite Eight team in Texas Tech. So you could sit there and say Kelvin Sampson stinks, John. You could sit there and
say
like,
that
you don't have lingering biases because of what Houston did to Memphis when they were still in the American. You could sit there and
war.
Like, we don't know that you hate Kelvin Sampson.
It was a back and forth affair. Penny and Kelvin went back and forth quite a bit.
They did, man. I miss that rivalry. No, I think that Houston's going to find a way to be able to figure it out. I think their biggest thing is that they went from having two guys that were shooting, like the three guys in their backcourt, two of whom were shooters, to having three guys in their backcourt, two of whom need the ball in their hands. Like, I think Kingston Fleming and Milos Yuzan, it's a little bit like they kind of play the same role, and they're still figuring that part of it out. And Jawan Roberts, you gave him the ball at the elbow. He put the ball down with his left hand. He got over that right shoulder, and he hit that little running, like, banked in, half hook, half floater, whatever you want to call it. And he shot that, like, from what I saw, 98%. I'm pretty sure he didn't miss a single one the entire year. And you've lost that kind of scoring output at the four spot. Chris Cenac can knock down a shot and knock down a three, but he can't create something on his own. And I think that that's kind of limited them a little bit offensively. So they definitely have some things they have to work out. But if you can go ahead and doubt Houston, you won't find me doing it.
I just doubt them relative to. I mean, I think again, I always go back to this preseason panel that we had at Field of 68. Like 60% of the damn panel had Houston winning the championship, and I hate to say it, they ain't doing it. They ain't winning the championship. They're just not.
You know what? I agree with you on that. But to me, it's more about the fact that those other teams kind of was like, holy crap, we forgot how good they were. Like, I think we thought Michigan was going to be good. I don't think anyone thought they were going to be this good. I think we knew.
There was one panelist who had Michigan as the national champion. You should go check. You should go see who it is. Because you're talking to him. You're talking to him,
wow.
Rob.
Wait, hold on. You picked Michigan to win it all?
I sure did. So you can say maybe we didn't.
Holding this guy up.
I knew.
If you don't show me a preseason bet slip, then I don't care. Cool, you got a little graphic that you could celebrate.
Wow.
Later on in the season.
This is the respect I get at Field of 68. Unbelievable. But no, you're right. I mean, there's definitely an element of they're way better than most, you know, projected them to be.
But it's not just them. Like, Iowa State is significantly better than I think any of us thought they were going to end up being. Arizona,
for sure.
Who had Arizona as like a top 10 team in the country, right? So like, I feel like Houston is about what we thought they would be. They're really good. It's just that the top like five or six kind of came out of nowhere, and they're all really, really good. And I mean, John, you've heard me say this before, man, but I think like the top 10 to 12 teams in the sport this year is as good as the top 10 to 12 as that I can ever remember seeing.
Yeah.
In terms of the quality of play and the shot making and how good they defend. And you know, you got this elite freshman class coming in at the same time that you have all of these European players coming in that are all good, and you're bringing back, instead of having anybody that can get an Exhibit 10 leaving early because going to making $50,000 as a pro somewhere is a better option than staying and just getting like a stipend and scholarship money. So now, unless you're guaranteed to be a lottery pick, like it was a decision to come back. Axel Lindenberg was probably going to end up being a top 20 pick, might have been a lottery pick.
Yep.
And he came back to school because he's making what, like $3 million?
Yep.
LeBaron Filon would have been like a top 25 pick.
Absolutely.
Like you got actual NBA players that are now staying in college to continue playing because of the amount of money that they can make. So I think this is the best that we've ever seen back in college.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.